Saturday, January the 13th. Sad day has come. The life of the Lotus Eaters is at an end. Our bridge marathon's over with. Every night for four nights once, and as late as 1 o'clock, three nights in a row. Lyndon had exercised every day, swum almost every day, 30 laps sometimes, and ridden that bicycle. He varies a great deal, but at the best, he was down 16 pounds and 1.5 inches in the waist. I was so proud of him. I spent the morning on household chores, simple things, deciding on lamp shades and waste baskets and wallpaper samples for Jesse's bedroom. We had an early lunch. Jim, Marie, Mary Rather, and Jesse Hunter. And then we drove into the boyhood home, Lyndon and Jesse and I. Lyndon went to meet A.W., and we walked right through the tourist into Jesse's back bedroom, spread out all the books of wallpaper samples, and over coffee and a cookie, a great treat when I'm on a astringent diet, too. We made plans for how the bedroom should look. It's so drab now. I'd love to see it gay and bright. Yellow, a coral, a pink. Wheezy D's, always helpful, had met us with a big stack of wallpaper books. We spent a domestic hour, and then I went down to A.W.'s office, and with him and Lyndon, started our last drive. There's always something special about leaving. We drove through the Scharnhorst. Lyndon can never seem to get enough of looking at the deer, counting them, inspecting the fences, picking up the intercom every few minutes to give directions to Dale, who must curse the instrument by now. Then we went home, toured the Martin Ranch. During the course of the afternoon, A.W. told some interesting stories about an eagle in one of his pastures who was killing all of his little kids, the newborn goats, and about a return of wolves who had not been seen in these parts for many years until the last 3 or 4 years, and were now something of a menace to the young sheep and goats. And one night they had killed 48, he said. It was all alien and interesting to me. Picked up Jewel Malachek at her house, drove through the dance. Dale joined us, and we talked bluebonnets and crops and the price of bulls. And all too soon, it was 6 o'clock, and we were back at the house, changed clothes, took the chopper into Mabry, and it was the end of the longest stay we have had at the ranch in years, it seems to me. We drove to Lucy's house, and there was Lynn, all smiles, apparently over his ear infection, absolutely enthralled at seeing his grandfather. It's one of the pleasures of my life to see them together. Lyndon spends more time with him than he ever did with either of our children. He said, "There's one job I want, and that's to be a full-time grandfather." It was both humorous and pathetic. Lucy's solicitude for him, for Lyndon, is touching and sweet. He's very womanly about him. A little before 8, we flew to Bergstrom and boarded Air Force One. Congressman Gonzalez and Kazin and Pickle and Barrel were waiting for us, and a plane load full of the retinue that follows the president. We had dinner and read papers and talked, and at 12:30, in a pelting rain, landed at Andrews Air Force Base. Literally waded through the water to our chopper, and were on the ground at the south of the White House a little before 1. Lyndon, in true countryman's fashion, insisted that the Pickles come on inside and spend the night with us. I rounded up a gown and a robe for Beryl, and he gave Jake pajamas, and upstairs they went. And so we returned to what really seemed like New Year's, the beginning of the hardest year, with our big problem still unresolved.